matter. Just a test. We're just testing.
Okay. All right, so you'll close the door. I guess I'll just...
Is this good?
I can hear you, yeah. I think I'm fine. I'll just knock on the door.
Oh,
I guess.
Right.
Oh, you're watching. Okay. Yeah, we're just getting set up here, but yep, I can hear you just fine, I think.
Okay.
And you can hear me, Marcel?
Yes, I can. Very clearly.
Okay. It's good to see you. I think it's been a while, and now we've got this, we have these crazy days, right? So we have to be careful.
We have to be, right?
We really do.
When you're ready, just let me know.
She can hear me. Okay, Violetta's just double checking. You can hear me fine?
Yes, I can.
Okay, great. So I'm ready whenever you are, I guess.
Okay.
Get some water.
Thank you very much. And good morning again. Ambassador, most of the questions are just to clarify and clear up some things on Secretary Pompeo's visit. Starting with the ship rider agreement, joint maritime or aerial patrols has begun between the U.S. and Guyana.
Yes.
And to get clarity on asking if you can explain precisely what Guyana's participation will be. That is, are we placing personnel aboard your ships? Will you have personnel waiting here in the event that we need assistance? How will that be executed?
Okay. Well, first of all, let me just say thank you for doing this interview, Marcel. And really, the Secretary's trip was historic and exciting. As you know, he's the highest ranking U.S. official to visit Guyana ever. So we were just thrilled. His main reasons for coming here were to demonstrate support for democracy in Guyana, to reaffirm our strong security cooperation, and also to pave the way for enhanced economic cooperation going forward. As such, so the three things that he either signed or papers were transferred or things were launched were very important because he wanted to make sure the trip had actionable items, and it did. So the first one that you mentioned, the shipwrighter agreement, is very important and goes to enhancing the security of the maritime area in Guyana. So specifically what it means is that the U.S. Coast Guard and the Guyanese Coast Guard can do joint patrols. So for example, if there is another ship in Guyanese waters that is potentially suspected of carrying illegal, illicit goods such as drugs, minerals, weapons, anything of that nature, then they can pursue this ship together. And that can mean that the Guyanese military person joins the U.S. Coast Guard, vice versa. They'll work together in order to pursue this effort. And this is very important. Because as Guyana is on the cusp of change, as everybody knows, there are a lot of folks looking at Guyana right now, a lot of partners that want to do quality partnership, but there are a lot of bad actors as well looking to take advantage. And so it is important to improve the overall security, specifically focus on maritime security, to have this agreement enter into force. It was actually agreed to many, many years ago, but never entered into force. So this opens up a new partnership on the maritime security front. It will also allow the Guyanese shipmen to observe what the U.S. Coast Guard shipmen are doing. And it's kind of a bit of on-the-job training, if you will, and a transfer of some skills along with the security effort itself.
Ambassador, do you know if it provides for training for local personnel?
There is an element that can provide for training, specifically of the military personnel, of course. And again, both the specific training as well as, you know, on the job as they're actually doing their work.
And in terms of hardware, does it provide for us getting patrol boats or any hardware, for example?
There have been discussions about that in the past, and there has been a transfer of some hardware in the past. So we're exploring the future of that, but this agreement is specifically on the patrolling of the seas.
On this matter and what has been taken up most controversy, I want to know, does Washington accept that Guyana cannot be drawn into any confrontation that might arise between the U.S. and Venezuela, given our ongoing case of the ICJ?
We're very well aware of the ongoing case of the ICJ. As you may know, Marcel, we very much support and will defend the 1899 arbitral decision that puts the Guyanese border squarely where it is today. We are awaiting the ICJ decision on jurisdiction. We fully expect they'll take jurisdiction, and then we anticipate that they will rule in favor of that, of upholding that 1899 decision. This is in no way meant to get in the way of that very long process. This is just meant to take advantage of the opportunity and the request, frankly, from the government of Guyana to increase our assistance in the maritime area to improve and enhance maritime security, both for Guyana and the U.S., because, you know, we're in the same neighborhood, if you will, and so enhanced security in the Guyanese seas enhances our own security. On Venezuela, though, as you brought it up, we are very grateful for Guyana's work in the Lima Group. And this is not just this current administration, but the last administration here as well, was very strong as a member of the Lima Group and speaking out for the need for Venezuela to adhere to democratic principles and the rule of law, and for an actual election to be called. So we expect that this current administration will be just as strong in the Lima Group in calling out for those principles to be adhered to.
And Secretary Pompeo announced some financial aid for us. First of all, the $4.5 million U.S. aid for youth and citizens engagement, and $5 million for Venezuela aid. I wanted to know if you can elaborate on both.
Absolutely.
How would the money go? How would the money be used in terms of the Venezuelan aid and separately for the youth program?
Certainly. The Venezuelan assistance has already begun. And it's through both the State Department Bureau of Population, Refugee, and Migration, as well as some USAID funding. Most of this assistance will be put through international organizations like IOM, UNICEF, et cetera. And it goes for many things in addition to strengthening the data collection of the Venezuelan migrants. You know, I can't say enough about Guyana's generosity in accepting a large number of Venezuelan migrants into the country. I know the numbers per se pale in comparison to maybe those going to a Colombia or a Peru, but as a percentage of the population, it's quite high for Guyana. And the migrants have put a lot of pressure on the healthcare system and education system. And of course, they're Spanish speaking, not English speaking. So there are a few issues there. So we've been very happy to assist in the past, and we will continue to assist. And the total does at up to about $5 million. And if more is requested, we will certainly explore that. Related to the USAID assistance, that's really focused on governance and civil society. So it's a program that will engage youth and other civil society actors in talking about governance in general, inclusive governance, and taking the country forward on that issue of inclusion. As we know, again, on the cusp of change, right? And we want all Guyanese. I think everybody wants all Guyanese to benefit, and therefore all Guyanese voices need to be heard. So this project will, again, it is targeted toward youth and civic engagement and promoting a strong civil society, which is important to any country to hold their government accountable. I sense there's a delay. Is there a delay? Can you repeat that, Marcel?
I was just asking about some clarification on the Venezuelan aid, the channeling of the monies.
Through international
institutions. So all of it would be done through NGOs and international organizations. Would
Correct.
Any of those monies be going? Oh, okay.
No, all through international or local organizations. Or NGOs.
Mm-hmm. And the other agreement that was signed, the Growth in America's Initiative.
Yes.
How precisely will the local private sector and Guyanese be benefiting?
Right. So this is an initiative. The Growth in the Americas initiative was developed a couple of years ago in Washington. It's an interagency initiative focused on increasing and enhancing trade and investment capabilities in the whole hemisphere. So a number of agreements have been signed, but this is only the second one to be signed in the Caribbean. So we're very excited about the opportunity moving forward. What it will do is unlock opportunities, again, to attract trade and investment, attract capital to Guyana. It will unlock resources as well as expertise and enhance relationships between the U.S. business community and the Guyanese business community. It does require that the U.S. government, the Guyanese government, and the private sector come together and form a working group to figure out the details of how they want to take this forward. So it's basically, Marcel, kind of a framework, if you will, and then this working group will figure out exactly what projects it wants to focus on. The main focus of the Growth in the Americas initiative is energy and infrastructure. And by infrastructure, it really can be, it's very broad. It can mean roads, bridges, information technology. It can mean a whole host of things. And I think looking forward, given the needs of Guyana, as it is, again, on the cusp of change, infrastructure was on the top of the list for all the competing parties during the election. It's well known that, you know, there are some needs in the infrastructure area here in order to take full advantage of these new resources. So this working group will come up with a set of priorities and projects to look at to so that we can work together. And then our job will be to put together, Guyana together with U.S. Private sector companies to actually make those investments happen. So I would say all three of these initiatives that you mentioned, the Shiprider Agreement, putting in force the Shiprider Agreement, the USAID initiative, as well as the Growth in the Americas, these are three very actionable items that look long-term. We definitely don't want to lose any momentum. We want to focus on all of them immediately, and that's what we're doing. But they will also set the stage for long-term enhancement in those three areas, in security, governance and economic growth, prosperity, if you will.
Ambassador Lynch, while disagreement could be important and is seen by the private sector as a huge step by the U.S., there continues to be the view that Guyana is suffering from a lopsided agreement in terms of the PSA with ExxonMobil. What are the views of your government on these concerns? Do you turn a blind eye to the claims of exploitation of small countries by U.S. companies?
Any agreement between a U.S. company and the government of Guyana is between them. But we always encourage private sector companies, governments, to do their homework on the commitments being made. And we are firm in that we think that, as the Secretary said, that when the U.S. shows up, we stick by our commitments. And Guyana's going to have a lot of, there'll be a lot of interest in Guyana, and you'll have a lot of different partners. I think what U.S. companies bring to Guyana and bring across the globe is quality of work and a commitment to excellence. As you probably know, we have a lot of rules and regulations in the U.S., which means that sometimes these commitments or contracts or deals take a little bit longer to happen, but it's worth it in the end because you know what you're getting. You are getting a commitment to that quality, to that excellence, to international standards, which I think Guyana is very interested in. And we also commit to hiring local staff and then building local expertise. So I would encourage Guyana, when looking at any company or any country that wants to invest here, to just, you know, do its homework and make sure you know what you're getting and, seek the best and seek the highest quality. I think international standards should be at the top of your list.
Is that to say that you believe that ExxonMobil has brought all of this?
ExxonMobil has a great reputation across the globe. I'm certainly not going to get into any specifics of their agreement. I don't know the details of their agreement. I know we're pleased to see that in the press, they're reporting that there's been tremendous progress on the third project, the Payara project. As I understand it, Cabinet still needs to review it and it still needs to be signed, but it looks like there's been quite a bit of progress there. And joining Liza 1, Liza 2, this is good for Guyana.
Great. And on democracy, ma'am, you played a significant and a very active role during the last election process. You were there at the locations, middle of the night, sometimes very early in the morning. In your whole career as a diplomat, have you ever seen or experienced anything like you have in Guyana?
I have not, Marcel, and I have observed elections in other places around the globe. I'm a career foreign service officer, so I've served in many places in Asia, the Middle East, and South America, and now the Caribbean, which I'm loving, by the way. No, I honestly haven't. I was very pleased and happy to be invited to be in a domestic observer, basically. I wasn't part of any of the official observer missions like the OAS and the Carter Center and the EU. They have very specific training on what they're looking for. But I have done this before, and it was some of it was very new to me. Election day, you know, again, I went to six different locations throughout the country and saw a very well executed election, frankly. I was very happy. And then things kind of fell apart after that, as we know now. The recount too, I was, as you said, there early in the morning, sometimes late at night, observing and witnessing, just sitting in the background. But that also looked to be very well run. I have to say, with the resolution of the election on August 2nd, I was very happy that it was finally resolved. I think it was good for Guyana. It did, you know, go on for a very long time, but I'm glad that I was able to be there to witness some of the irregularities myself, so I could report on those. But again, I was very pleased on August 2nd when everything was resolved and resolved peacefully. And I think Guyana is in a much better place now because of that. I do know that, of course, the government, it's only been 8 weeks since the government's been installed and only 8 weeks since the opposition has been installed. And both are trying to, you know, group and organize themselves and, you know, I think at some point they'll probably come together and discuss many of these issues that happened during the election season.
So with the swearing in of the new government and the opposition leaning on that 8 weeks period, has there been any call across the board for an inclusive governance?
Well,
for constitutional reforms? What role do you envisage the U.S. playing in this process?
Right. I think I caught your entire question there. Yes, we are very, the issue of inclusive governance is very important, I think, in Guyana. I do hope that the opposition and the government come together to reduce any tensions that did exist during the election period or that may still exist. Again, with all that's ahead of Guyana, it is important for all Guyanese to be heard, all voices to be heard, and for all Guyanese to benefit. In order to make sure something like this doesn't happen again, I think it's important to review, take a look at the Constitution, take a look at electoral laws, and see where they can be improved in order to make sure that the election institutions aren't political, and that it is, it does set up the country for a successful election where the citizens can be heard. It will take time. I would just by saying an effort like that takes some time, Marcel. So I hope that the government, the opposition, and I would include the small parties as well that play a role, come together soon to kind of figure out a way forward. And I hope they do so with the inclusion of civil society, because citizens need to be heard and will play a role in any kind of inclusive government going forward. So I would make those points when I meet with the government and when I meet with the opposition as well, that it's very important going forward.
I was asking specifically, what role do you envisage the U.S. playing in all of this, during this process?
I think our role will be one of encouraging progress on this point. If there is assistance that is required, we have a lot of resources that we can call upon. There are a lot of organizations, NGOs in the U.S. basically, that have worked on these issues throughout the globe. And if there is a request for assistance, we would be more than happy to explore those opportunities. Again, we'd like to do so soon because these are big discussions, important discussions. And if you want the entire country to take part in it, it will take time.
Oh, and as I wrap up, Secretary Pompeo had said that it was determined that there were persons who undermined democracy here. There was a promise of visa restrictions. Could you say to date how many visas were restricted?
No, I'm not allowed to. That's according to privacy laws. I can't say who or how many. But there were visas restricted.
No, not who, a number?
No, I can't give a number. But there were multiple. I will just say that there were multiple. And it's not a road that we wanted to go down, Marcel, at all. We really hold back on that tool of U.S. foreign policy until the last possible moment, to be honest. And as you know, you were tracking this, I well know. I spoke out, more importantly, our, you know, the Western Hemisphere Affairs Office then spoke out in Washington, and then Secretary Pompeo multiple times, at least three or four times, spoke from his podium about the need to if you're going to call yourself a democracy, you need to adhere to these democratic principles and the rule of law and get this election resolved. So he did so many, many times before going down this path of revoking or restricting visas. But then we felt that that was the next tool in the toolkit. And he did announce that once, and then he announced it twice. So there were multiple actions taken. And, you know, we hope going forward that that is, a learning experience for all.
My final question, Ambassador Lynch, yes, as we wrap up. While the U.S.'s support for democracy here has been heartening, and everyone has expressed their pleasure, you know, to your government, critics, on the other hand, have said that the very democracy in Washington is under threat in various ways, maligning of postal ballots, and what would be a plan by the Trump administration to not accept results of the November 3rd elections. How do you respond to these criticisms?
Well, you're right. We're having an election season ourselves in the United States. And in fact, tonight is the first debate between President Trump and former Vice President Biden. So I suggest that everybody who's interested in the US election watch to perhaps get some of the answers to those questions that will be posed. But we certainly do have an election coming up on November 3rd. And I think we'll probably see good voter turnout. We normally do for a presidential election. And there will be a president installed on January 20th. And that is certain per our Constitution. So I fully expect that all parties will adhere to the results. But watch the debate tonight, and you make your own determination, Marcel.
Thanks very much, Ambassador.
All right. Thank you, and good to see you again. Hope to see you in person someday.
I'm here. Have a great rest of your day.
Okay. Take care now. Here's Violetta.
You will.
Anything else?
Thank you, Claire.
We'll send this to you soon, yeah?